Yeah. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. What's happening, Ray?
This sounds like a really deep-thinking plot that you guys are discussing.
Yeah. Well, Ray, how about this before we get into anything?
I don't even know what it is. I just hear Noodle say, I would pay, so I know there is stupidity at the end of this.
Well, you talk about stupidity. We're talking about, these guys are talking about IKEA and that type of nonsense. We were talking earlier about the USAM, where this kid's caddy, Ryan, was at the 18th hole?
On the 18th hole, yep.
He climbs in the bunker and starts playing, making sand castles, and the guy got a penalty, and the guy lost the match because his caddy's a donkey. It's just it's the
jackass.
What was he doing?
He was trying. There's a video of it. He was testing the texture of the sand in the bunker. Why on earth he'd be doing that? That's for the players' golf shoes to test that. But this donkey climbs in there and does this and costs the guy the match.
Matt, like, what's he doing in the bunker anyway?
No kidding. I've never seen a caddy in a bunker, period.
I haven't
flat
either.
Flat out, period.
I've seen them with a rake after the guy leaves.
Not grabbing any kind of sand.
No. It was, you got to see it, Ray. If you haven't seen the video. Because
I have not. Like, yeah. I can't, oh, man, I got to go find that. Absolutely. Oh, would you be sour?
Oh, imagine the U.S. amateur, and you're on the 18th hole of a match play, and your caddy is in the bunker, and the opposing player's caddy spotted it and immediately called it in and called in the infraction. Guy said, "Let's, that's the match. Look at this idiot. He's in there playing with the sand."
Imagine the stories for the next year. How'd you do at the USAM? Oh, I lost on Friday. How? Well, my caddy was in the bunker making sandcastles.
Yeah.
And then I just got disqualified because of that.
Yeah. That. How do you think you'd handle that, Ray? How do you think a 23-year-old Ray?
I don't think I would ever talk to the guy again.
No, I'd wrap my four iron directly around his neck and shove him in the bunker and bury him.
Okay, that might be a little harsh, but yeah, I don't
think. Yeah, that might be a stretch, I think. I don't know if it would have to turn into
now,
a crime scene.
You know who this guy could caddy for on the Pro Tour?
Patrick Reed.
Oh, these guys are a match made in heaven.
Absolutely. Good point. Patrick Reed needs to hire this guy. They are made for that. They are made to be a partnership on the tour.
Don't you be fiddling around with your club in the sand. I can fix that before you get in there.
Exactly. You don't need to take the bullets. I will for you.
Just search USAM caddy on Twitter on a computer, and you're going to see this guy. He reaches down and starts grabbing sand. I can't stop watching.
Yeah, it's infuriating. I feel so bad for the player. Like, the player, he's on the 18th hole of a match play at the US Amateur in the round of 16.
And was it all square?
Yeah, it was all square on the 18th hole.
Obviously it was.
Yeah, of course.
Well,
exactly. It wouldn't be there if it wasn't.
Are they playing abandoned dunes, like at that course?
Yeah, they're in Oregon.
Yes.
No, but I mean, are they at Bandon or there's Pacific dunes? Or
no, I believe it's Bandon. That rings a bell. I think so.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Ray, we were talking, like, this is the 18th hole, as if this guy hasn't got a read on the bunkers. Like, then all of a sudden, this guy's got to grab and touch the sand to what? Like, to just say, hey, it's a little grainy or...
I think he's got money on it. He's got money on it. He's trying to jam up the player.
It might have been a reverse play.
Brian Donaghy's caddying for the USAM.
That's right.
Wow.
Well, anyway, check that out afterwards. You got to see it.
That is a kick in the pants, man. Oh.
Big time. We talked about Tuukka Rask and his comments earlier, where he, you know, I think he was just being honest. Clearly, I mean, it's no fans. And he said it doesn't feel like a playoff game. It feels more like an exhibition game. And the reaction has been, it's been pretty heavy on this. A lot of people are suggesting it's a cop-out. Some people are suggesting it's just honest and realistic. What else would we expect considering there aren't fans and they're playing in August? What do you make of the comments, and how would you respond to those?
Ooh, I think he is being honest. However, my first thought when I heard it is, well, that's why you got Jaro Halak there. If this guy doesn't want to play, then let's get somebody else in there that does. Like, I would be sour. I'm like, man, we're all in here together.
Yes.
Like if you don't want to play, then, well, I guess he didn't say he doesn't want to play.
Yeah, I didn't take it that way as he didn't want to play. Yeah. I think he just said, listen, there's no fans.
It came across,
like, I don't know,
as his interest level wasn't
it
exactly
did.
Sky
yeah,
high.
It did. But
I agree.
Guys, if you play with no interest, you're not going to play anywhere near as well.
Well, he's put himself under the gun now, because if he starts stinking the joint out, everyone's going to say, you weren't even in it anyway. So that's what you deserve.
Yeah.
I think it put, like, now they're asking his teammates, you know, what do you think about this? And, man, it just bad. It's just a bad thing to. He didn't think it through, put it that way. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't have said anything.
No, and I agree, because all you do is shine a light on yourself when you say things like that. And but you know, the guys were saying in the 4 o'clock hour, and they're not wrong. Like, we want people to be honest. We want them to tell us their feelings. We want to know behind the curtain a little bit. And the minute that they do, they get kicked in the pants for it. And I mean, I think Tuukka's a guy who just shoots from the hip. He's pretty honest. You know, Finnish guys are like that. They're pretty laid back. I don't think he was being malicious. He was just being honest. Going.
I also don't think he's alone, guys. I definitely don't think he's alone. I don't know if he's in the minority, and if so, is it 5%, 10%? I guarantee you, though, there's other players that are in the bubble that are like, yeah, I'm with you, man.
This is garbage.
This is weird. Like, you know, I'm here to play.
So don't play then.
Right.
Well, opt out. Let the other guy play. The other guy will play his ass off.
Yeah.
Like, I would look, Tuukka Rask is a better goalie than Jaro Halak. I'd rather have Jaro Halak in net if Tuukka Rask can't muster up the energy to play or the interest to play.
Amen.
But he's been very good in both games. Like, he hasn't been a problem. That's the thing. Like, in game one, I thought he was fantastic. And in game two, I don't lay that Dougie Hamilton game winner on him. Like, I think if he becomes a problem and is not good, then you go, this guy's head isn't into it. This guy played back-to-back games and didn't have a problem with it. Like, I think it's just that, you know, we take his comments out of context because you're like, this guy he's just being honest. Like,
well, he's also the last example he had of playing in a playoff game was game 7 at home in the Cup final. Mm-hmm. So if you're comparing it and contrasting to literally the last experience you had, obviously it's a lot different.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm sure Chara would tell you that in a candid moment. Bergeron. Like, they're playing in Toronto. Right? In front of no fans. But,
right.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's harder for the older guys than the younger guys. But I don't know. I'm just thinking as a player, I'd be a little sour if my teammate was kind of like thinking this is,
you're right.
I'm aware it's goofy. I get it. But we're trying to compete for a cup, and every bit is important this year. We're trying to put $400 million back in the kitty so we don't have to pay for everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very intriguing point there, Ray, in terms of marketing and the importance of players to represent the league. Because I would think, maybe as much as the Bruins may have raised an eye, I'll guarantee you the league is like, Tuukka, don't do this, man. Like, we are trying to push forth a product that gets people excited. And if you're telling them we don't feel excited playing, how are you expecting fans to feel overly excited watching? Like, that is, I would love to be a fly on the wall with Bettman and company after they heard the quote. Because you can't fine him for it. Of course not. It's honest. He's just answering the question. But it's almost the worst thing a player could say right now.
That's a PR guy for the Bruins, Brian, saying, you know what, maybe in the future.
Even the Lego is what I'm saying. Like, it's, guys, there's companies that are paid a fortune to put on the games.
Yeah.
I know you think it's an exhibition, but if the fans start thinking that it is, our numbers are probably going to show it.
Well, yeah. I'll be honest, maybe there is it, or maybe that there is examples of it, but I've thought the hockey not like that. Like, I've thought it's been invested in and intense, and yeah, it's different, and it's a little goofy, and, you know, like when you see a puck fly over the glass and it hits those tarps on the side, you know, you can't hide what it is, but I think it's been
pretty good.
I think it's been really good stuff, actually.
Yeah, yeah, it has been. It's been pretty fun. Like, I've enjoyed it, and I was saying earlier, I'm having a tough time keeping up with everything because there's so many games.
Yeah.
And, you know, games are getting moved around, schedules are getting moved around, games are starting later, but that's a good thing. You know, that's a part of the ride. And on a day like today, we got three Canadian teams playing, and the Habs are up late. Looks like they're going to tie that series.
Did they dominate today?
Big time.
Not even close.
Yeah. That's
a
good sign.
I don't know if you guys saw the start. Oh, my gosh. It was, I think the shots were like 12-0, and shot attempts were 23-2.
Yeah, they've been all over Philly. Them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to go back to the Rask thing too, guys. I was just thinking this. Like, this is also a goaltender that was sitting there in his gear waiting to play, and the game got bumped to 11 a.m. the next day.
Right.
Like, you know, it is. And I defended not him, but I also said, like, I don't think the players feel that way when guys are getting hit from behind and punched in the face. And to me, there's been some scrums there. Like, Tuukka's not feeling that because he's not in them. He's not getting roughed up. He's not getting slashed. You know, McAvoy gets hit from behind by Svechnikov. Chris Wagner gets run from behind. Like, those guys wouldn't echo the sentiments that Tuukka Rask has echoed or has said. But it has been a little bit of a weird feel. Like I say, you know, those guys are, you know, it's been that tournament feel where, you know, you're waiting because there's another team playing on the ice in front of you, and that team's an NHL team. Like, I can't imagine being at the rink and, like, Ray, and I don't want to exclude you, Brian.
Go ahead, Noodles. Okay. You wouldn't be the first one.
Here's a prime example. Have you guys played at Madison Square Garden or Boston when there's been an afternoon basketball game or the circus or something? Like, I know for a fact, like, I remember being at the Boston Garden and wrestling was there. Like, as I walked in for the game, and
there's
they still
always
had to
been
change
something. There's always been a hard court at Madison Square Garden. They got to get it out of there and get it ready for the game.
Right. Like, so that's the only time I've ever felt, like, weird. It's like, yeah, there's fans here watching the Knicks play, and we play 3 hours from now. Like, other than that, it's, like, all hockey all the time. Like, these guys are showing up to the rink, and there's another playoff game going on, and you know, some guys are in the stands. Some guys are, you know, as they're stretching or watching it on TV. It's just been I can't imagine if it hasn't been
a even to get to your room, you're walking through other teams.
Yeah.
Like, there was that picture that was released last week of John Tavares walking through the Bruins, I think. I think the Bruins were in between intermissions or something, and they were getting ready to walk back out on the ice, and there's Tavares, like, trying to sneak through the crowd. And
it
would be strange. No question. And I think you still got to give it some more time. Like, we're only a couple games into the first round here. I know the qualifying round counted for something. It did. Right. But let's see where we're at in a couple of weeks when the cup is within reach, right?
Right.
I think it will become that much more real. And in terms of the Canadian teams, again, with all three playing, the Habs are going to tie it up 1-1. Vancouver's up 1-0 in their series against St. Louis. And Calgary's tied at 1 with Dallas. So I would say, you know, the Canadian teams are looking pretty decent at this point. Which one do you have the most faith in, Ray, to either get through this round, but furthermore, just go on a bit of a run? Is there one in particular?
Well, I would have put Montreal third, but I'm watching them play today. And I'm like, holy crap, do they look good. Like, really, Kotkaniemi just scored again. Just a beautiful goal.
Yeah, it was a nice goal.
And you know, and I don't know. I think Philly will beat Montreal, but man, I'm really impressed. A little bit of the stuff we're talking about with Rask, I wonder about St. Louis. You know, will they? You know, can they find a gear? Or they haven't won since, you know, what have they played, four games? They haven't won yet, and so I wonder about them. Like, could Vancouver get through? And then Calgary and Dallas, that's a funny series to me. Like, I don't know. Yeah. If Matthew Tkachuk can't play, I think Calgary's in a little bit of trouble. I'm more impressed with how Calgary has limited, like, has played defensively under Jeff Ward. And I think they can beat Dallas. Dallas just doesn't score enough for me. So I think two of the three teams can get through. I would have never picked Montreal till what I'm watching now.
Yeah, and that might be recency bias, but full credit to them. Like, they, not to mention what they did in the first round, right? Like,
yeah,
they,
and not an easy day today with, you know, with Claude Julien. You know, not on the bench today, and it sounds like he's doing well, and you know, and that's awesome to hear. But with Kirk Muller coaching, and you know, they come out and they're the best team by miles here, and in this game. And you know, I'm watching Konechny go off the ice. He blocked a shot, and you know, it's, things turn south in a hurry in a playoff series.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you know, man, maybe this is the way Montreal can play.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got a goalie that gives you a chance, and then, you know, Domi is starting to look better. I'll be honest.
Well, they finally moved him up in the lineup.
But he's been farther down, too. He's been, like, he's been playing a fourth-line shift still,
I know,
but he gets power play time. Yeah, but I think there's more there. It just depends on, you know, health has been a big issue, and you need saves. And Shea Weber looks like Shea Weber, and, you know, that bench.
He looks mean, hey? Oh, he looks mean, man. Yeah, that doesn't look like much fun.
No, that's what you invest in. Like, that's what you want out of a guy like him.
Yeah, like, that's, you know, that's a father figure going into the scrum going, that's enough, folks. Like, and that's, he's done it. Chara did it when Svechnikov ran
McAvoy
last night, and same thing, like, you know, that grizzled vet that gives you a chance. Like, Montreal, they're just skating today. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, that goes a long way, for sure. With Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, we haven't caught up with you since Monday when we all reacted to the Leaf game on Sunday, but they spoke on Wednesday. Dubas, Shanahan, Keefe, a bunch of the players. I'm sure you caught a lot of the clips.
Yeah.
What stood out to you? What did you make of the end of season kind of breakdown from the team?
Kind of the way I felt like they dug their heels in a bit, and, you know, like with Dubas saying, no, we've got the right makeup, like, no, this style is the right style. Almost like they felt a real need to to defend their way and their style and their way of building a team and some of the players. Like, that's what I took mostly out of it. Well, that, and when he said Cody Ceci's internal analytics would change everyone's idea.
Right, which just no one wants to hear that. And
I was like, there is not an analytic. When he took that shot, I think it was in game four, that missed the net by 45 feet.
Yeah.
Like, there's no analytic that's going to tell me anything different about that.
No. And actually, that's a good point in terms of the previous point you just made about how they actually feel about things. Because I think Cody Ceci actually might be the perfect case study, where if they bring him back, which I don't see how they possibly could, but if they do, that would mean they truly believe the analytics that they have and the stats, and they are married to them. Like, they're actually, they're not allowing the eye test. They're not allowing reality to seep in.
What are the stats on him that are so positive?
Well, they claim that they've got him behind closed doors and no one else has him. And he didn't engage on that. He didn't offer up any more details. But if they bring him back, that would indicate they really, truly are true believers. And if they let him walk, then it's like, what were you doing? Like, why did you go out of your way to defend Cody Ceci when you knew he was out the door anyway?
Yeah.
Like, how would that make any sense in retrospect?
I don't care what those numbers are. No one else in the National Hockey League would buy into those numbers watching his performance.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if Dubas, I hope he doesn't, but if he does and Ceci returns, wait till you see the reaction on that.
One other thing I think is that almost in anything sports related, but really in life, is if there's no balance, it doesn't work. And like, it just doesn't work. And so when I look at this in relation to how the Leafs are, they have no balance almost anywhere. Like, they have no balance from the top of the lineup to the bottom of the lineup. They have no balance from the forwards to the defensemen. They have no balance from the top of the salary cap to the bottom of the salary cap. They don't have any balance from skill to, I'll call it, backbone players. Like, there's no balance in any of it. And in their comments, it seemed to me that they're firm in their belief that this way is going to work.
Why?
And I don't see it quite the same, because however you want to make, you know, decipher player to player to player, I don't see the balance in their lineup that all good teams seem to have.
Yeah, I share the same viewpoint, and I don't know what is coming this offseason. I can tell you, based on his defense of Mitch Marner's not going anywhere, and I don't think that's a surprise, but Matthews isn't going anywhere. Tavares isn't going anywhere. But I would say, you know, and this happens, I think, in every market, and it happens in Toronto all the time with different eras of players. People focus on one guy, and it's like, that guy's got to go, as if he's the issue. And I think that's the wrong mentality. I think what needs to be found is what you're talking about, Ray. You've got to find the pieces you want and then find out what the price is and then make a determination on whether or not you're willing to pay it. And right. That doesn't mean you're running a guy out of town. Like, Nylander is always the poster boy. You got to trade Nylander. No one says what you're looking for or what you're going to get. Right. And that would suggest Nylander is the problem. He's not the problem. Like, there isn't one problem. There isn't one guy who's causing all the issues. You've got to go and find what you're looking for to fill out this roster. And when that opposing GM or team tells you what the price is, then you make a determination on whether or not you're willing to pay it. And if it's Marner, so be it. If it's Nylander, so be it. Doesn't mean that they're bad guys. It means you're filling out a roster, and this is big business in pro hockey. That's the way it works.
Given $38 million with the four forwards, it seems difficult to me to have $9 million tied up in your third line. $9 million plus.
Right.
So something's got to give there.
Yeah, I would be shocked if Janssen, Kerfoot, Kapanen are all back. Shocked.
It just doesn't seem to be workable in that way, because you're going to need dollars for your defense. Like, that, man, we can skirt around it. Like, that definitely has to upgrade. And how much of an upgrade will Rasmus Sandin be? I guess we're going to find out. Mm-hmm. But past him, like, if you have a defense with Dermott and Sandin and Hall, like, are you a cup contender?
No.
No. Not when you look at what Boston puts out there.
Carolina.
And Carolina, well, and St.
Right.
Louis.
Like,
and
Now you can, if you believe that those players are part of your defense and you go and get somebody in free agency or through a trade at the top to play with Morgan Riley or can literally, you know, solidify. And I'm not talking, like, I thought Mark Bergevin made a savvy move with a guy like Ben Chiarot. I think he gave him like $3.5 million, but Chiarot's a really good player, but he's like a three. You know, he's not a top pairing guy, but he does play top pairing. I just look at, you need somebody, and I know it may not be a household name, and that's kind of what Kyle was saying to us. He's like,
yes.
You know, it doesn't have to be a household name. Well, I would think if you want to scare people, like, you know, going and getting a Cody Ceci type is not going to make your team better. Like, you need somebody who had a name. Like, Tyson Barrie had a name. He did.
And it didn't matter.
It didn't work. Like, he didn't play well enough for Toronto this year. I still believe he'll land on his feet somewhere, personally.
Oh, yeah, he's still in the NHL next year, for sure.
Absolutely.
He might have to take a one-year deal, though, kind of a prove-it deal somewhere and find a good situation and double down. I wouldn't be shocked if he was contemplating that. But you look at, you know, and not everyone is built the same way. There's a new cup winner every year, generally right. speaking. There's a different team that has a different look. So focusing on the one leader, it doesn't always make sense, and it may not be fair. But you look at Boston, which is the team that I think the Leafs are most connected to because of what's happened
right.
over the past
That's
few
right.
years. Their top four is Chara, McAvoy, Carlo, Krug. That's their
right.
top four. Like, Jake Muzzin would be on their third pair. He would be.
Yeah.
He'd be on their third pairing. Justin Hall wouldn't make the team. Mm-hmm. He just wouldn't. Like, that's not a shot at Hall. Hall would make the team for 15 other teams in the league. 20 teams, not on Boston, would not be on the third pair. That's how good that team is. That's what you're chasing. It's tough.
And yeah. and so I guess they're not going to sit there and throw themselves over the cliff publicly, but, you know, I think there's got to be a certainly an open-minded look to what they're doing and whether it can be successful or not. For me, as I said a couple times, it just comes back to balance. I just don't think they have enough of it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see over the next 4 or 5 months. I mean, it's going to be a while until they get back on the ice. Anyway, have a great weekend, buddy. We'll do it again Monday at 5.
Yeah, you bet. And I did just check out that caddy. Like, seriously.
Unreal.
Seriously.
Like, I don't think I've ever seen that.
No, I've never seen
and
that.
He wanted to pull that routine out on the 18th hole at the USM. And we were talking, Ray, This is like a major. Like, you get to play in all the majors if you win this event, and your caddy is digging for gold on the 18th.
He should be banned from golf for life.
Oh, my God.
Not caddying. He shouldn't be allowed in Golf Town. He shouldn't be allowed to mini putt. This guy shows up at a mini putt. It should be, you're out. Because you cost that
should
kid.
Should be banned from golf, period. Yeah. Cannot play golf anymore.
No, anything no. About video golf. Games, nothing. Anything with golf in it, you're not allowed. Anyway.
He must be fun on the beach, though, man. That guy could build you a sandcastle in no time.
Oh, he'd be awesome to hit the beach with, but not the course. That's a whole new story. All right, man.
Okay,
we'll next
boys.
Week.
Have a good weekend.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking all the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at MapleToyota.com.